I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about the abomination of desolation. The abomination of desolation. We're not so much going to try and interpret exactly what this means, because I think that it could very well have multiple meanings. We're going to talk more about the principle of the abomination of desolation, and then I'm going to explain why I wanted to do a program and talk about this in particular in light of what's continuing to happen, in light of what we talked about in our last program and what is continuing to happen. But let's look first at Matthew chapter 24, where Jesus is talking about the end times. And he says in verse 4, he says, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." All right, so this is what Jesus says in the first part of his prophecy concerning the end times, and this is specifically in response to his comment in verse 2, where he says they're talking about the temple in Jerusalem, and Jesus says, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Then the disciples say, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And then Jesus answered and said, "Take heed that no man deceive you," etc. in verse 4. Okay. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you," etc. Okay. So that's all. Then we read all the way down through verse 14, where he says, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Now, that's all looking toward the Great Commission, that the gospel must be preached in all the nations, and then shall the end come. But you still have, brethren, here's what I find very interesting. You still have countries in the world where you cannot preach the gospel. You'll be put to death. You cannot preach the gospel. In many Muslim countries, it is forbidden. Muslims are forbidden by law to convert, to repent and turn away from Islam and embrace Christianity. They're forbidden by law to do it. Now, thank the Lord, there are still many Muslims that do repent and they do embrace Christ. Praise the Lord. But you have countries where the gospel cannot be freely preached. I have come to believe that as long as that is the case, then we are yet going to await the second coming of our Lord, because it's simply a matter of time, I believe, before those tyrannical governments are somehow or other going to be overturned, and they are going to be forced to accept, at least accept, the preaching of the gospel, and to accept at least the concept of religious liberty in such a way that people will have the freedom to hear and believe the gospel. That's generally what I think is the case, and what will be the case going forward. And so as long as you have all these countries that do not permit the preaching of the gospel, I believe there are yet things to be fulfilled before our Lord's return. All right, in verse 15, gospel is going to be preached unto all nations, verse 14. Verse 15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Okay. Now, notice Jesus makes reference to the when you shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Now, why does he say that? Why does he say, whoso readeth, let him understand? I'll tell you why I think he says that. If you go to the very end of the book of Daniel, you go to the very last chapter of Daniel, when Daniel is given this entire vision for the end times, he says to the angel that gives him the vision, I'm turning there now, in Daniel 12 and verse 8, we read, Daniel writes, he says, and I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And then he says, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. And then it goes on from there. Okay, so again, another reference to the abomination that maketh desolate. Now, notice what Jesus said. He said, let him that readeth understand. Let him that readeth understand. Why does he say that? I believe the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's Jesus who opens the understanding of his followers to comprehend the scripture. So when Jesus says, let him that readeth understand, I believe he is responding to verse 9, where the angel said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. And I think what Jesus, when Jesus says, let him that readeth understand, I believe he's unsealing those words. Now, that doesn't mean that every believer is necessarily going to understand them perfectly. I don't think that necessarily means that I am going to understand them perfectly, not at all. But I do believe it is possible for the abomination of desolation to be comprehended and understood by believers under the new covenant from that time forward. That's generally what I believe. Now, When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Obviously, you know, the original holy place would be the temple of God in Jerusalem. The temple of God. Now, under the new covenant, believers, the church, is the temple of God. Paul says to the Corinthians, know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Then he says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Makes it very, very clear that the church is the temple of God, and that every believer who has the indwelling of the Spirit of God, every born-again believer, has the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. Okay? That's what it means to be a born-again Christian. You're transformed by the power of God. And collectively speaking, we as believers are the temple of God. So now, in the midst of that temple, of course, I think the Reform view would be that the abomination that maketh desolate was the papacy. Why? Well, I mean, the popes demanding that people bow down and effectively worship them and kiss their ring and kiss their feet, etc., and effectively replace the authority of Christ with the authority of the papacy. Certainly, it caused a spiritual desolation for centuries, and that continues to be the case. People who look to the Pope as an example of what Christianity should be, there's no question. How could anything but spiritual desolation be the result? Look at what the papacy is teaching today. We talked about it on the last program. I played some of the audio for the ecumenical video that the Vatican put out. This idea of blending all the gods together. And now a story that I've just stumbled upon that I wanted to share on the program. This is this is an article that you'll find in CBN News talking about a mainline Christian denomination praying to Allah. Praying to Allah. The Presbyterian Church USA. It says, the Presbyterian Church USA is raising eyebrows for lifting up prayers to Allah at its General Assembly meeting last week. And then it gives the prayer. Quote, here was the prayer. Quote, Allah bless us and bless our families and bless our Lord. Lead us on the straight path, the path of all prophets, Abraham, Ishmael, Isaac, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad. End quote. A miserable, blasphemous prayer. To sit there and pray in the name of Muhammad, Muhammad who openly denied the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, openly denied that Jesus is the Son of God. All of Muhammad's followers have done the same. There's no question that the Bible tells us this is that spirit of Antichrist. Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. The scripture is very, very clear. Couldn't be clearer. Yet here we've got a church, a so-called church, the Presbyterian Church USA, praying to Allah and in the name of both Jesus and Muhammad. It says here at CBN News, these, quote, these were the words that rang out over the congregation at the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church USA meeting in Portland, Oregon. Wajid Saeed, co-founder of the Muslim Education Trust, led the attendees in the prayer to the Islamic deity, a move arranged by the ecumenical and interfaith ministry staff at the assembly. All right, brethren, we are going to go to a commercial break, and we're going to talk more when we come back right after this.
Adullam Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part 3 in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today, the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors. But now, Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are talking about the abomination of desolation and what it might mean. Clearly, it means putting something unholy, ungodly, and abominable in the holy place, in the place that the word holy means separate. The place that should be sanctified, set apart unto God. Place where God, the true God, should be honored. And now there is something that God would consider, and this is key, something that from God's perspective would be seen as an abomination. An abomination. You think about where the word abomination is used. Now, taking this back to the papacy, because all this ecumenical stuff, brethren, you can trace this path, this road, all the way to Rome. All the way to Rome. Now, it is certainly true that Rome is not alone in this endeavor. I think Rome is the chief instigator here in modern times. No question about that. The Jesuits in particular were the ones who wrote the ecumenical interfaith dialogue of Vatican Council II. But they were joined by many evangelicals, professing evangelicals. There's just no question about it. And this story is further evidence of that. Here you got the Presbyterian Church allowing this kind of a prayer. I mean, you compare this to what went on in the Middle Ages, the zeal that believers had for Christ and the gospel. And once they knew the truth through the scripture, were not willing to go back, for example, to the Romish Mass. They weren't willing to do it. There's the famous story of Jenny Geddes in Scotland. Go and look up Jenny Geddes, where you had a priest that came into the church and began to recite the Mass. And she stood up and she picked up a stool and she said, "Dare ye say the Mass in my lug?" And picked up her stool and threw it at the guy. In other words, you're going to come into this house of God and say the blasphemous Mass, the re-crucifixion of Christ? Get out of here! And I mean, the whole thing turned into an uproar. You go read what it says on, just the Wikipedia account of this, just a very quick account, says, Yeah, Jenny Geddes, who is alleged to have thrown her stool at the head of the minister of in St. Giles Cathedral in objection to the first public use of the Anglican Book of Common Prayer in Scotland. The act is reputed to have sparked the riot which led to the Wars of the Three Kingdoms, which included the English Civil War. That's the event, the English Civil War. That's what we're talking about whenever we talk about Cromwell and the Puritans. But you can go online, brethren, and you can look at images. You can see images. They preserved the stool of Jenny Geddes to this day. And it's a powerful symbol of defiance against the powers of Antichrist. I mean, I'm reminded of Dr. Ian Paisley at the European Parliament standing up when Pope John Paul II is there and shouting, "I denounce you as Christ's enemy and Antichrist with all your false doctrine," shouting him down. That's what believers should have done in this Presbyterian church, is drive him out. Think of what Jesus did when he went into the temple. He made a whip and he turned the tables over and drove out these money changers. We have to look to the scriptures for examples. What are the examples that we have from Jesus and the apostles? Do they engage in this kind of ecumenical interfaith nonsense? No. They don't do it. You don't find it in the Old Testament. You don't find it in the New Testament. It's not biblical. It's a lie. It's apostasy. It's the same kind of error that the children of Israel fell into over and over and over again whenever they fell into Baal worship and the worship of Moloch and all the rest of it. But this all fits in, brethren, with what they call over in Western Europe the Great Replacement. The Great Replacement, replacing Christianity with Islam. Replacing Christianity with Islam. Now, you ask the question, you say, all right, now, who would want to do this? Why would anybody want to do this? I honestly believe the one thing that I come back to over and over again is the lustful depravity of Islam. Because if you study Islam, they have normalized all manner of sexual depravity in particular. Then you examine Rome, of course, and Rome is just full of all sorts of depravity. There was just a story here about some Catholic boys choir, and they've just discovered now, it's being reported, that Pope Benedict's brother, who oversaw this boys choir for a period of time, over a period of decades, that hundreds of these boys were molested during that time. Hundreds of them. Now you've got over in the UK a story posted on the Daily Wire, Ben Shapiro's website. The headline says, "British government denies compensation to children who were sexually abused because they consented." Consented. It says roughly 700 children as young as 12 who were sexually abused have been refused compensation by the criminal juries or Criminal Injuries Compensation Authority in Great Britain. Roughly 30 were denied compensation because it was deemed that they consented. Okay? British law states that children under 16 cannot be deemed to have consented unless they are over 13 and the perpetrator could reasonably have thought they were over 16. And then it goes on from there. But we've talked about this before, how this is the direction that the socialist powers are taking the Western world, because they ultimately want to normalize and legalize pedophilia. And I believe Islam, their embracing of Islam, has everything to do with this. Because it's what the gays want, it's what the Muslims want, and it's what the Catholic priesthood wants. It's what they all want. That's what they all have in common. And I won't say the entire Catholic priesthood, I call it the covert Catholic priesthood. Now, you think about what we read about Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. That word abomination, the abomination of desolation. What does the scripture call an abomination? Homosexuality is called an abomination, and transgenderism is called an abomination. Now, that's not all that's called an abomination in the scripture, but I think it is no coincidence and no accident that we're seeing this kind of sexual depravity be normalized, and that the chief culprits, two of the chief culprits in this end time scenario, Rome and Islam, that this is vile behavior that they have normalized. And so we consider that voice crying out from heaven, a crying, "Come out of her, my people, lest ye be partaker of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues." All right, brethren, we are out of time for today. That's going to do it for us. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.